good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you don't need to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to call them.
And they do call them a lot, right, Wendy?
Well, they get updates every day on COVID. So
yeah, and people are calling all from all over Turtle Island, mm-hmm. So keep it up and and they love the calls, believe mm-hmm. you me. Hey, I'm your host, Robert Pilot, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. And this is a show which we do every day, Monday through Friday, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
And we discuss Native and national Native news all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. So today, the show, we have Robert Lilligren, who's with NADCI, a mover and shaker here in Indian land mm-hmm. here. And then also we have Kevin Aberask. And what I'm really excited about, Kevin, is thank you, Wendy, for the thumbs up, is that, you know, we're going to be working with Indians.com and with all the great work and news that they're doing, and we'd love to promote them and then have mm-hmm. Kevin on. Hopefully we'll have him on once a week, but it's really exciting news to have more news.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, why don't we go to Ogama with the news? Welcome, Ogama. We really love having you on, Ogama, because, you know, we give out the news here on the radio, Native-centric news that you normally don't hear other places. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Annie Bujou, everybody. I just want to give a shout-out to Jay Snowfly. I see you in the comments over there. Hello to you, too. Hope you're doing well. I, as always, start out with some news on what's happening with the Stop Line 3 movement in Minnesota. If you have not signed up yet, please sign up to go to the Treaty People Gathering in northern Minnesota, June 5th through 8th. You can sign up at treatypeoplegathering.com. Water Protector Don Goodwin said in an ask for sign-up that this is about so much more than a pipeline. It's drawing a hard line against all the new fossil fuel infrastructure. It's about standing with indigenous peoples and strengthening their sovereignty. It's time to rise for the water, the land, and the sky, and for our future generations. And I don't think anybody else could have said it as well as Don. So shout out to you, Don, as well. Hope you are safe and doing well. An update on the Ride for the Rivers that Shanai Matson, water protector from Honor the Earth, has been doing. She rolled into the Red Lake Treaty Camp late last night, and she was welcomed by water protectors who were fishing and setting up for a traditional sweat. She updated her social media with that information early this morning, I believe. She also said that she saw the area that had been burned last week when someone or something set fire to one of the tiny houses that had been built for the camp. I did hear about that just briefly, but I hadn't gotten any more information as to the cause of the fire, and it kind of sounds like maybe they still don't know, but that's really unfortunate. Shanai said she heard from stories of what it's been like for people making camp there to protect the water and practice their treaty rights. Today is the final day of riding. Shanai and other water protectors will travel about 75 miles and visit three more rivers between the Red Lake Treaty Camp and the place where Line 3 crosses the Red River from North Dakota. After that, they plan to go to Fargo for a day and visit others who are organizing in the resistance to Stop Line 3. So also a shout-out to Shanai Matson and riding, I forget how many hundreds of miles she's riding, but she's riding a massive amount all the way down in the opposite direction of Line 3. In the opposite direction that oil flows in Line 3 in northern Minnesota. Other events that are coming up today at 7:30 Central Time is the Line 3 Call to Action. That's going to be right after the show. That event is hosted by MN350. It is a biweekly call to get an update on the status of Line 3 and upcoming opportunities to get involved to stop it. It's for anybody who's been involved in the movement or if they're brand new and looking for a place to engage. This week, they'll be joined by three organizers who will share information about the Treaty People Gathering June 5th through 8th. Again, treatypeoplegathering.com to sign up. Coming up on May 20th at May 20th through May 21st at Camp McGizzy, they will be hosting frontline medic training with South Sound Street Medics from Seattle and Portland. They'll be doing an in-depth frontline medic training course and go through a thorough condensed version of a 23-hour course with 6 hours of training each day. They do ask that masks and social distancing are required, but also not to come to Camp McGizzy unless you've received a recent negative COVID test. So keep that in mind if you're going to go up to Fond du Lac this weekend for that training. On Monday, the Minnesota Environmental Partnership and Sierra Club North Star Chapter with Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light are hosting a webinar. It's called the Governor Walz Report Card Webinar. It's Monday, May 24th from 7 to 8 p.m. And they are going to give an update on Walz's climate report card. The midterm climate report card is a tool to inform Minnesotans about how the Walz administration is responding to the climate crisis. You can sign up for that event at bit.ly/Walz Report Card Webinar and receive the Zoom link that way. Also coming up next week, Wednesday, May 26th, is the Grandmother to Grandmother to Stop Line 3. The 1,000 grandmothers of the Bay Area in California are coming all the way to Minnesota, and they are going to be in front of the Minnesota Governor's Residence on Summit Avenue in St. Paul, Wednesday, May 26th, from noon to 1:30, and to ask him to shut down Line 3. And then one more event next week, that same day, May 26th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., is going to be Soup Singing to Stop Line 3, which is a fundraiser for Camp McGizzy. It is an opportunity to connect with your group to prepare for the Treaty People Gathering June 5th through 8th. You can register at tinyurl.com/soupsinging. So in other news, yesterday we talked about the ongoing issues between South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem and the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe over her lawsuit against the federal government for denying a permit to launch fireworks over Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe recently joined the lawsuit opposing Noem's request for the fireworks display. Noem wrote to President Biden in the past month saying she consulted tribes about the fireworks display, and the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe released a statement saying that they were not consulted nor were aware of such a conversation. In spite of all this, Noem hosted a ceremonial round dance at the South Dakota Capitol today. She opened the ceremonies by saying that they had the opportunity to celebrate heritage that makes South Dakota special, and that she and her family have attended tribal ceremonies in many communities across South Dakota, and that it was an honor to host one. She did have Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Chairman Mike Faith, educator Joe Circlebear, and a dance group from Sisseton in attendance. And also in attendance was David Flute, who was the Secretary of Tribal South Dakota Tribal Relations Department. However, about noon, a group of protesters interrupted the ceremony. They played music from a boombox and called out Noem and the other Native people in attendance. Two of the people held up a sign that said, "Governor Noem, you do not represent Ocheti Sekoan." The South Dakota State Patrol, who's responsible for the security at the Capitol there, turned off the boombox and stood ground. It doesn't appear that anybody was arrested. Noem did not stop the events, but it was reported by the Grand Forks Herald that she left the event after 40 minutes and the dance continued. Reactions to this have been really mixed. Some people in the Native community believe that the event was a good thing because Noem has not previously hosted any events like this, while others are really siding with the protesters and believe that Noem intends to fool the people with her support for Indigenous communities in South Dakota. So that happened today.
Well, goody. I saw a picture of a Noem wearing some kind of weird thing. Did you see that, Wendy?
I just saw it, and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, kind of a loincloth thing.
Part of a bee. Yeah, around her waist. Yeah.
Give me a break. Yeah.
Well, we could talk about how I don't like fireworks, too, but that's a whole nother show.
That's a different show.
It is a different show.
But we can talk about that once we get closer. Hey. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake and Pini Gigi Ogama for the news. We're going to be right back with Kevin Aberask of Indians.com, and we're really excited.
Stay with us.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on stronghearts.helpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hey, Wendy, we're super excited to have Kevin Aberask on, and he's managing editor at Indians.com. They do such great work bringing out Native issues, mm-hmm. and they do video, audio, and, well, I shouldn't even talk about it anymore. Why don't we get Kevin on to speak about this great organization that he works for? Kevin, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Robert. Haom Dakyapi Chanwashtia Nape Chuza Pielo Tachanku Cheska Machia Pielo Malakota. You said, greetings, my relatives. I greet you with a warm handshake. My Lakota name is Holy Road, and I am Lakota. Speaking to you from the Lincoln, Nebraska, the ancestral homelands of the Oto Missouri, Kansas, Omaha, and Pawnee peoples. And as Robert mentioned, I'm the managing editor for Indians.com. This is a Native American news website owned and operated by the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska, especially Ho-Chunk Incorporated, their economic development corporation. And you can find us, of course, on Indians.com, which is Indians with a Z, not an S. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And recently, we joined Clubhouse, which is a pretty cool app if you have an Apple product. And we do a weekly news roundup each Friday evening starting at 7 p.m. So be sure to check that out. I think we're having a lot of fun with that.
That was a lot of fun. Thanks for the invite. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I was glad you could join us last week, Robert. And I also wanted to mention a podcast that we started within about the past year or so called Reconciliation Rising, which features interviews with Natives and non-Natives who are working together to promote reconciliation. You can find our podcast on iTunes under the Indians.com banner or on SoundCloud just by searching for Reconciliation Rising. You can also visit the website for the podcast, which is reconciliationrising.org. So thank you so much for having me, Robert, and I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're really excited to have you, Kevin, and we've been watching your work, and I know Ogama at times quotes your news when you have news coming up, and we are always looking at it on Facebook and really staying on top of things. Tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about what we're going to be doing here, hopefully, in the future as a group, or two groups, I should say.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. So I've spent the past 22 years of my life as a journalist. I spent 18 years as a reporter and editor for the Lincoln Journal Star here in Lincoln. And then I've spent the past 3.5 years or so for Indians.com. You know, I've written at this point thousands of articles and produced a number of videos. And I take my own photos now. So I kind of have to do a little bit of everything since I'm most of the time when I go out into the field, I'm kind of a one-man crew. So, you know, I'm shooting my own photos and videos and producing these things later on. And I enjoy that. I really do. And, of course, I do the podcast as well now. I'm a married father of five, and I serve on the board of directors for the Lincoln Indian Center. And I also serve as a human rights commissioner here in Lincoln. That's something Wow. that I was recently appointed to by the mayor of Lincoln. Really proud to be able to serve on that commission. We investigate civil rights violations here in the city, and obviously that's a pretty important thing nowadays, and always has been, but especially I think within the past year, we can all agree that civil rights is something that we should all be very attuned to. So glad to be part of that.
Yeah, I noticed when we met, you came up after the George Floyd murder and really were doing a lot of work on that and getting it out there immediately. And I just want to say a peeny geegy for all your hard work on that.
You know, I got to tell you, Robert, you know, that experience in Minneapolis was kind of in many ways a real awakening for me. You know, I went to Minneapolis really to try to touch this experience that had happened, you know, to all of us nationally. And as powerful as it was, and we even visited the site where Mr. Floyd lost his life, as powerful as that experience was, I got to tell you, it was opening up my phone the morning after we arrived there in Minneapolis and looking at the headlines from my city of Lincoln here and seeing the fact that the night before there had been a protest in Lincoln in which a number of very youthful protesters, most of them in their teens, had been very savagely beaten by Lincoln police. And, you know, I'm choking up talking about it right now. It was just so incredibly powerful to see that and to see these young people standing up for what they believed in, and disheartening to see the way that our community and our police reacted to that. So really, it kind of made me realize I had to come back here and do what I could, you know, to help my community, to help heal some of the problems that we're facing here. And I felt responsible for what you know, I saw happen in my community. So I came back with a mission in many ways to try to get more involved than I have over the past year. So.
Wow. Yeah. And it really shows. And I want to say peeny geegy again. It's interesting, too. I knew this, but I forgot when I kind of pulled out some information about you that Indians.com is owned by Ho-Chunk Inc. That's exciting. That's our relatives, Wendy. You know, I'm in the Wisconsin, enrolled in Wisconsin, but many of my cousins and aunties are enrolled in Nebraska. So we are all related.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I owe everything to Ho-Chunk Incorporated. So, yeah, thank you for mentioning.
Yeah, and that's great. Wendy, you got a question?
I don't really have a question. I'm just wondering what inspires you and how what stories you choose to produce or right. What kind of videos, what it inspires you to do the work?
You know, most inspired by people who are working to heal wrongs within society, people who are seeking to redress past injustices. Certainly, these things always speak to my heart, and just people in general who have a story to tell that's about passion, that's about you know, some kind of obsession. Even, you know, they say some of the best subjects we can find as storytellers is somebody with an obsession. So I'm always looking for that in the work that I do and finding it quite a bit. So it's fun. I really enjoy it.
Well, it's exciting. And I think one of the things I'd really like to talk the last few minutes we have together is kind of what we want to do together as a team. I want to really amplify your voice. And because of all the great news, and that's what we're trying to do here in Native Roots Radio the last almost 4 years, is to amplify everybody's voice all over Turtle Island. So how do you see working with Native Roots Radio?
I see a lot of possibilities for it. You know, I love the venue, the medium, so to speak. I think there's a lot of possibilities with telling these kinds of audio stories, and I hope to explore that medium as much as I can in the future. So I'm really looking forward to it. You know, obviously, anytime we can talk about the work that we're doing for Indians.com, that's a huge plus for us. And, you know, just glad to be able to share that kind of education and information with a broader audience is always a positive thing for Native people in general. But I do think that, you know, the more we can share really personal stories and some of the personalities, the movers and shakers in our communities, I think it helps people to realize that we're not just historical figures. You know, we're very much a contemporary people living and breathing today, and we matter. We're here.
Yeah, I know we say a lot of times on our show and out in the public, we're still here. But, you know, to our allies, that's really important for us to tell them. I think that's just a great point. And I love the fact that we can amplify positive voices all over Turtle Island. And we're just really excited, Wendy. We're really excited to have this.
Yeah, it's great.
This work together. And so we got two more minutes here. What do you think? Ogama, do you have a question?
I don't know that I have a question, but I do want to say I think the first time I met you in person was outside the American Indian Center when you came for the after George Floyd was murdered, and I was camped out there overnight for two nights in a row to make sure that, you know, nothing happened. We got lucky in that area. Nothing did happen. But I do have to say that, you know, following and, you know, reading as much news as I do and deciding what I'm going to, you know, amplify, I completely agree with you that there are so many times where you read a headline or you read about a story and you're choked up because it is so grossly unfair or so grossly inaccurate, you know, that, you know, we are very much a living and breathing people, and there's still a lot of ignorance around the existence of Native people. And we have to be, we have to constantly be reminding people, and that can be really daunting. So thank you for your work and all the work that you do in amplifying those voices and reminding people that we are indeed still here.
Absolutely. Any last words, Kevin? We're ending this, and we're really excited for what is going to come. We really are excited to team up with you and Indians.com as much as we can.
You know, just lastly, I would say just thank you so much to Native Roots Radio for all the work that you do, especially amplifying the Line 3 news. I just think that's so important to do, and it doesn't seem like anybody else is covering it to the extent that you are, and just as well as you are. So great work in that regard, and yeah, happy to be part of it. So, Wopi Latunka.
Pini Gigi. Wow, Wendy, really awesome. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Kevin Abarask of Indians.com, and we're going to be right back after this short break with Robert Lilligren of NADCI.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for the Master of Tribal Resource and Environmental Stewardship. With this degree, you'll develop the skills to help tribal governments manage natural resources and navigate the legal, cultural, and political contours of tribal sovereignty. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Masters of Tribal Resources and Environmental Stewardship at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtrees.org. That's umdmtrees.org.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hey, Minnesota, this is Tom Hartman. Catch me during your lunchtime on AM 950 from 11 to 2. Find more information and the live stream at am950radio.com.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for showers and storms overnight with a low around 65, Friday partly sunny with a high near 82, and Saturday sunny with a high around 91. At School of Rock Eden Prairie, you're never too old to learn a musical instrument. In fact, learning a musical instrument is not only good for your brain, it's fun too. You choose whether your lessons are in person or online. School of Rock Eden Prairie also has adult bands if you want to jam with other adults. Get rocking today at edenprairie.schoolofrock.com.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Hakun Jahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yeah, it's interesting. Before we get to the guest, we have a little technical difficulties back at the mothership, and it's funny to hear the bumper music. It sounds like
a little hollow.
Well, it sounds like we got the string and the cans, and we're talking through the cans at the
with the string, and the little kids are on the end playing the music.
But hey, we regress. Let's move on here, and we have Robert Lilligren of NATCE and our regular Thursday guest. Welcome, Robert. Let me unmute you here real quick, or unmute yourself. It's just a wild day here, isn't it?
So it's a wild day.
Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, can you hear us okay? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Great. Yeah, I was having a little technology issue, so I'm glad it's coming through. So yeah. Hey, Robert. Hey, Wendy. Hey, Ogama. Nice to see y'all.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you on, and we want to just maybe touch base on what's happening here in the Twin Cities and what's happening nationally with natives and also other people. We care about other people too once in a while, so whatever you got for us today, that would be great to talk a little bit about what's happening over there in Minneapolis.
Yeah, so, you know, I talk about anything, as you know, and I always enjoy our conversations. You know, a couple things I wanted to bring up, activities that are going on. And, you know, this last year was kind of hard on folks because there weren't powwows. There were limited opportunities to get together. It's been great to see the community kind of coming out and being together in space. And this Saturday, the public schools up in Columbia Heights, Minnesota, so it's a suburb just north of Minneapolis, are holding their powwow, which had to be canceled last year. And so that's this Saturday, May 22nd, noon to, I can't read my old eyes here, noon to 5 p.m. And it should be very cool. Community member Valerie Larson, who works for the schools up there, is helping to coordinate it. The organization I work for, NACDI, is fiscal agent just to support, you know, on a pro bono basis, just to support this community activity. But there was here in the Twin Cities, here in Minneapolis, there was a Mother's Day powwow recently at Little Earth. There was a round dance just last weekend at Little Earth. And so it's so great to see the community coming out and getting together again.
Yeah, we're vaccinated. We're ready to go. You know, and we'll be outside without our mask on part of the time, Wendy, right?
Well, yeah, and I'm working on not being so judgmental about people who aren't getting vaccinated. I just want to say that. I'm really working on it hard.
Publicly.
It's really hard, but I'm working on it.
I hear you, and it's been really rewarding to see the positive response in the Native community, you know, and really focusing on taking care of children, of elders, and expressing those Indigenous values. And so, at least in the community I'm part of, there's a high level of vaccination. And our medical services, the Native American Community Clinic and Indian Health Board, just did great jobs at getting people vaccinated.
Yeah, we have Dr. Stately on every Monday. And wow, that's a it's just great to hear the updates from him. And we've also offered Dr. Stately, like we've offered you, Robert, to come over now that you're vaccinated and do the show live here sometime when you can. And we'll give you a t-shirt and, you know, get you going, get you all set up with our swag.
Yeah, that's a good incentive, that t-shirt. I just make you that sounds good. And another thing that's just going to bring up that's going on in the community right here with a lot of the urban organizational leadership is how we've been coming together in very traditional ways around a fire with ceremony. And we're really trying to sort of tee up the next 3 to 5 years. You know, what are the priorities in the community as we see them? And acknowledging that through the Recovery Act, the Repair Act, there's a lot of interest in what's going on in our community right now. And so we want to make sure that we're prepared and that we are working collaboratively so that we can benefit our communities to the highest level and leverage dollars that are coming in from a lot of public sector sources, federal level, state level, even local level, and a lot of philanthropic resources are kind of teeing up. You can see them on the horizon. So we're trying to be good and ready.
I feel like, especially with the government here, Minnesota state government, I feel like there's been a lot of really good sharing through the Native community in the last year or so with the bills and what groups have gotten money. And I think it's really been a good trend, Robert.
I agree, and I would really credit the Walt Flanagan administration for kind of giving place to that urban Indian voice as well. You know, we're not sovereign nations. We're organized community and a collection of Native nonprofits, and so it's a very different status, right? And so to try to find that place where we have specific issues specific to the urban Indian community, and how do we get resources to address them. And there has been a lot of engagement starting in the Dayton administration, but really accelerated and amplified through the Walt's Flanagan administration, directly with the urban Indian community. We have leadership here like Dr. Joe Hobart of the American Indian CDC, yeah. Louise Mattson of Division of Indian Works have really led this kind of conversation. So we're in conversation with the governor's office, with commissioners directly, and it's a whole different conversation. It's really something new and something different.
What do you think, you know, that's interesting because not to, to say that you've been around a long time, but you've been around a long time. And what do you see the differences now? You know, I know for us as natives, we had the murder of George Floyd that really basically got rid of the Washington name that we've been fighting for so long. What do you see as the big difference? Are people becoming allies, are becoming more awake, or...
You know, I think it's a combination of things. And yes, I have been around a long time, and so it's been quite a bit of change. And a lot of it is, you know, from activities in the community, right? We have been coming together for a long time now, trying to figure out how to change the narrative at the national level. You know, the team names, you have shows like Rutherford Falls. I don't know if you watch that, which is one of the most indigenous shows ever produced for television. So we're really taking some proactive steps to reclaim that narrative, and then also to work together collaboratively, you know. And we have this colonized framework that teaches us to compete with each other for resources, for service populations, or for urban, you know, reservation dynamic. And so instead of competing and, you know, doing the colonizers' work for them, let's put that aside and figure out how we work together. There's plenty to serve our people if we work collaboratively. So I think there's just been a change. There's a generational change in leadership. We've talked about this before, right? The young people are being raised with a much stronger sense of their native identities, languages, cultures, and so I think that it's this combination of things. And then, of course, having seats at the table, having people like Native people in Congress, a Native lieutenant governor, the Native House members, all of the Native local elected officials that were elected the last cycle, were having impact on policy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you mentioned that show. Bobby, who's in the show, went to Harding, so it's just like it's awesome. And,
we're going to be the name of the show again.
Rutherford Falls. It's
and is that on the Peacock network?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We're going to be binge watching it.
Yeah, but.
I watched the first one, and then Wendy and I are going to be binge watching it because we're excited. I've just heard so many good reports as it gets better and better and better and better as you watch it.
Right. Well, and contemporary Native folks will really relate to it, I think. And the story is so kind of flip flop. You have a descendant of a colonizer, Rutherford is his name, who feels like his culture, his language is being stolen from him and used for other people's profit, and it's just really smart that way.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So what else is going on? What we're looking nationally here. We're still waiting for the budget to go through nationally. And it's just like, hey, can we forget the Republicans and just move this on? I mean, you know, when we're reaching across the board, does that also mean, Robert, that we are reaching politicians? Because we have nationally people that are really, really want this bill to be passed, this $1.3 trillion bill, and that the Republicans are really slowing us down on it.
So we shall see, right? And I mean, I think this is a defining part of President Biden's administration. You know, what can he get through? You know, lots of folks have said it was maybe a mistake for President Obama to try to be so bipartisan when he didn't need to, you know, vote-wise. He could have passed more. And so there's a lot to be seen here. And at the federal and the national level, as we know, the partisan divide is so wide, you know, and the interpretations of reality. You know, the discussion around January 6th, I think is totally... It's like, well, these people were there, their lives were threatened, and yet it was a peaceful walk in the park.
Right. Oh, that really irritates me. It's just like, hey, it's just like, you know, these guys were like tourists. And I went, wow. Yeah. Wow. Tourists don't act like that, at least not that I know of.
Right. And then what do they call it? The what about game? What about is, you know, so the Republicans want to talk about everything that's happened over the last year in the same context with the insurrection on January 6th. So all of the civil unrest following George Floyd's murder, all of that, and they're different things, right? And I don't think it takes a constitutional scholar to see that. But they want to throw everything in there so you can't get anything.
Hey, Robert, do you have a time to do a couple more minutes in the next segment?
Sure, I'll stick around.
Right on, right on. Hey, we're with Robert Lilligren, Wendy, and I was doing really good on the names until I just messed your name up, Wendy. Sorry. you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute, NATCI, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for their Master of Tribal Administration and Governance. This degree is designed to develop the knowledge needed to work as an administrator in tribal government. Plus, you'll learn about the principles of sovereignty, ethics, law, budgets, and leadership. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Master of Tribal Administration and Governance at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtag.org. That's umdmtag.org.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit MN350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, Robert doesn't know this because he's normally not on this late, but should we do it again and have Robert howl?
Into a good howl, Robert?
I'll try.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Robert did a great job. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we're with Robert Lilligren, who's a Native American Community Development Institute, NATCI CEO, and we're really always excited to talk to Robert because, one, it's a lot of fun, too, and he has all this knowledge about past Native things happening, and also has his hand on the heartbeat of what's happened here in Indian country and nationally, too. He doesn't like to talk about that, but a lot of times when things nationally happen, Robert gets a phone call. Right, Robert?
Well, from time to time. I think you always flatter me a little, but I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to share share what I can.
Yeah, it was great. We were talking a little bit about masks and having you over and running into you at the powwow grounds.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, it's been great being in there. I've been in the office quite a bit. And, you know, folks who aren't from here, there's a Native-owned coffee shop, powwow grounds, that's in our building. Our gallery is there as well, all my relations mm-hmm. art. But the great thing about powwow grounds is everybody goes there, right? And so you might be sitting in the office thinking, oh, I really need to talk to so-and-so. Look out the office door window, and there they are in the coffee shop. It's like, oh, great. Right. Work done.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I ran into Mike, too, another Ho-Chunk, and when I was there, and it was like, oh, my God. And we sat and talked for about 10 minutes about some stuff we needed to talk about, how the election is going for me and things like that. So,
well, how is it going, Robert? How is it going?
Well, you know, it's hard because of COVID and not going to Chicago and really talking to people. Sure. But I have some elders that are really working hard for me, and I have a really good feeling. And not that they weren't praying for me before, but now they're calling up and going, vote for Robert, Robert Pilot. So we'll see. We'll know June 2nd. We'll be having either the fake champagne corking or the real champagne and drinking the blues. No, I'm just kidding. I won't be drinking. But, but you know, it's the creator's will. And and I needed to do that because, as you know, when an elder tells us to do something, and there was a couple of them, I did it. And so, that's our way, right, Robert?
Yeah. Good luck. Fingers crossed. Your campaign looks great. I think you've done a great job.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. So we got a couple more minutes here. What else is going on? What do you want to talk about? I know you were talking. Wendy wasn't on last Thursday, and we were talking about what was happening at All My Relations Gallery. Now I think we can talk a little bit about it, but it's a really unique kind of showing there.
Right. And so I would really encourage people. It's a young Alaskan Native. And I'm going to the website really quickly to get his name, but he's very traditional, and he works in fur is his medium, and he traps it and treats it in traditional ways. His name's Peter Williams, and the show is there through the 26th. And there's some mixed multimedia as well, some videos and things, but it's mostly mm-hmm. these still art objects that are made of fur, things like flags and basketball, that's what everyone always comments on, is the basketball. And it's very tactile. You want to touch it, you know. It's right. So soft and everything. And then there's some more abstract pieces. But it's breathtaking. Have you seen it?
Yes, I was there. I went through the real quick, and I saw, of course, I saw the basketball. But, so it's very interesting, and there's stuff like that happens at that gallery all the time. So it's really interesting and brings people into the community.
Right, all the time. We have a Native Writers series going on. It's about capacity building. It's a partnership with the Hennepin County Library, the Franklin Avenue Library, which is right up the block on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, and then Diane Wilson, a Dakota author. And it was kind of her vision to sort of prepare Native authors to get published. And yes. So in a number of forums, so I'd really encourage people, if you're interested in writing Native writers, there's an event coming up this week, and I would just go to All My Relations Arts website, allmyrelationsarts.com, and learn more. It's really exciting partnership.
Yeah, that is. And just, the whole corridor, one of our leaders, and I think you know who it is, and we won't mention the name right now, is not doing too well, and we need to throw prayers out his way. But a lot of that corridor had to do with him and the people he worked with. So we want to really give a shout out, a silent prayer out there in that area.
Right, prayers up for sure, and it really emphasizes how valuable this legacy of a lot of those founders is, and that we're living in that legacy and preparing to sort of pass it on to the next generations. And so how do we take what they gave us, make some progress, and then leave it better for the next generations?
Well, Robert, I want to thank you for being on, and I'm wondering, we want to touch base with you after the show if you got the capacity. Wendy and I wanted to talk to you real quick, and we're going to end your segment right now. We're going to talk to Wendy, and I really appreciate all you do.
Yeah, you guys.
Yes, Pina Gigi, and we'll I'll just put you in the bullpen right now and come back to you if you don't mind. So thanks again, Robert.
Thanks.
That was Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute, Wendy.
Yeah, I loved it. Thank you, Robert, always for being on. Definitely. I just want to let everybody know that today I was lucky enough to talk to Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar's legislative assistant, Brian. We had a meeting today with other colleagues of mine from the Humane Society of the United States, and we talked to them about a couple of different issues, but the one issue that I'm really passionate about and obsessed about, I could say, is the Puppy Protection Act. So what this is that the Animal Welfare Act needs to be updated. So right now, the Animal Welfare Act has dogs that are in puppy mills in just mere survival standards, right, which we need to increase. So what we want to do is increase the Animal Welfare Act so that dogs and cats don't have to stay in wire cages and do lots of stuff. So I want you, everybody, to call Amy Klobuchar's number at 202-224-3244 and ask her to please support the Puppy Protection Act, and it's Senate File 1385.
Wow, really awesome, Wendy, and congratulations. Really, you're doing a lot of great work here, and you know, with our sacred animals, mm-hmm. and I really, really appreciate it. And you know, you have time to do it now too, mm-hmm. so that must be really exciting for you.
It is really exciting for me, yeah. And I want to continue working on this stuff because I feel like it's really important.
It is important.
Yeah,
it is important. Mm-hmm. And you know, the same compliment we got from Kevin, I want to give you is that I don't see a lot of people working on what you're doing, and that's exciting that we're doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
And you know, you're an inspiration, and you inspired me to get more involved and do things and get more involved because mm-hmm. of your work, you know.
Yeah, we all have to stand up and step up to things that we feel are important to us.
Hey, I would like to Pina Gigi again, Wendy. I would like to end with these thoughts. We are not living on Earth, we are Earth. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I want to say thank you to Kevin Aberask, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. And also always to Robert Lilligren.
Absolutely.
And to Ogama with the news and with you with just being a big support for me and also the great work you do. We're still here. We're the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3.